Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
What time it is?
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Well, that pretty much stunk. I mean, that stunk pretty much most of the game. If we're going to be honest, that was about as ugly as you could have asked for from the Green Bay Packers. It was just shooting yourself in the foot one time after another in that game against the Vikings tonight. It really was. And when you look at what this could have been coming in, what it should have been, the talk was, well, Love's not going to throw three interceptions again. I mean, we're not going to miss multiple field goals again. And none of that happened. So those of us that thought, well, that's not going to happen twice, and the Packers almost won it the last time, we were right. Unfortunately, the one thing we didn't account for, and we should have, drop passes, dumb penalties, missed opportunities, going forward on fourth down when you should have kicked a field goal. You kicked the field goal the first time for three, it would have been 7-6, but now you decide to go for it. And again, it was a drop, essentially, of a tough catch by Jaden Reed. But it's 7-6. Then, at the end of the half, you have a field goal. That should have been done. And a horrible call by the referee. But again, nothing you can do about it. And they end up making a field goal. So when you shoot yourself in the foot time after time after time, it's very, very hard to beat a very good football team. And the Vikings are a very good football team. Dontavian Wicks lined up wrong on a big play. And that got erased. You just cannot have that stuff. Josh Jacobs turns it over right off the bat. I mean, that first half was brutal. Absolutely brutal. And I haven't even gotten into talking about offense and defensive lines yet. Packers lose 27-25. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express. As we broadcast live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios. Nicolay Law, fan talk and text line open for you. If you want to vent with me and Tommy Wirtz, feel free. Let's go. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. I'm here. You can yell. You can scream everything you want. Just don't swear. That's all I ask. You could text in your angry thoughts if you are in a house with children and so forth and don't want to stand out. You can do that too. That number works for texting as well as calling. Again, 414-677-1250. I'm mad about this one. This to me here looked like, well, It kind of looked like a game that was too big for them for a majority of the game. That's kind of what it felt like. Not making plays in a big game. And I understand you didn't have Christian Watson. Cool. Anybody know Tucker Kraft was on the team until the fourth quarter? Where was Tucker Kraft a majority of the game? Tucker Kraft got pretty good hands last time I checked. Got ability to break tackles, run over people. Not much Tucker Kraft in this one. Nope. Then, at the safety position, you're playing Zane Anderson on special teams because that's what you've done all year. He gets knocked silly, and then you got to play Bullard at safety. Said all week. Might have said it on all three shows at some point on Friday. I don't remember. If it's me, Keyshawn Nixon is going to safety, and Javon Bullard is playing the nickel. There is no question. I said it all week to Charlie. I know for sure I said it on Wisconsin Sports Daily all week to Charlie. When Javon Bullard has been exposed this season, it's when Evan Williams has been hurt and he got stuck back there at safety. When he was at nickel and Evan Williams was starting at safety, it was a lot better. So, Zane Anderson goes out. The Packers go, Javon Bullard, go in at safety. You're already without Alexander. And I understand that because you don't trust Bullard at safety, and because you don't trust all of your corners, and I find it hard to believe Jeff Hafley can argue that fact based on how he played the defense, you are not going to beat an NFL good quarterback, not all NFL quarterbacks, but a good caliber quarterback by rushing four and getting nobody home for a majority of the game. You give Sam Darnold all day to read War and Peace, my God almighty, he's going to make completions and move the football. That's what happened. Because your front four couldn't get home. I saw one safety blitz, if I remember correctly. That was more of a delayed blitz, if anything. One cornerback blitz that I remember from Keyshawn Nixon. And that one, Brady called it before the ball was even snapped. Brady's watching the game. Brady goes, looks like Nixon's going to be blitzing here. Or you call him 25, whatever. Sure enough, ball got snapped, and here he came. So Brady clearly sees it. I'm guessing Sam Darnold saw it coming, too. Adrian Cooper continues to play well. He had a big missed tackle there late, I understand. But for the most part, he played well again today. Rashawn Gary, three quarters, nothing. Not a thing. Did Kenny Clark play? Was he inactive? Was he on the field? Anybody see Kenny Clark? Was he out there? Because if he was, didn't see him either. I saw Van Ness walking around, but I didn't see him near a quarterback. You can't win rushing four, man. You just can't. When those front four can't get home, it's not going to work. Just not. Carl Brooks tries hard. You don't have enough. You have to blitz, regardless if you trust your safeties and your corners or not. Packers lose 27-25. Let's get to the phones. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. See Sparky Pfeiffer here. Tommy Wirtz over there. Again, your chance to vent and let it all out. It's fine. Just don't swear. That's all I ask. Ron in Whitefish Bay, you're first up on the Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line. What's up, Ron?
Good evening. Well, it's pretty obvious they missed Williams, and they missed Jair. I know everybody hates him right now because he's not playing. But without Jair, they have nobody to cover Jefferson, and therefore they have to play that stupid soft zone like they played defense last year.
Like Joe Barry, yep.
And just leave the middle of the field wide open.
Yep.
And that's not how Sam Darnold threw us. He's played great. Yeah, right. Anytime the Packers put pressure on him, he's wildly inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of these guys that if you plays a team in the playoffs that has a good pass rush, I guarantee you he's going to throw you a couple of interceptions.
Agreed.
More than the ones he even threw today.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yep. No doubt.
And, you know, it's a little frustrating. I mean, at this point, if...
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington keeps winning. They're going to have to play Philly in the first round, which in Philadelphia, I don't like their chances. But one thing's for certain. Either Jair plays in the playoffs or I'd get rid of him in the offseason.
Well, we'll find out where that goes to at this point. I mean, because you talk about getting rid of him, but what kind of value does he even have on the open market when he's been hurt all year? That's the thing. You don't want to trade him just to trade him. Thanks for the call. You just got to remember that. I mean, I understand people who are frustrated and upset. Brady said he had swelling in the knee still. I don't know if you all heard that. And Brady said he had swelling in the knee. Now, God knows Matt LaFleur hasn't said a word about swelling in the knee with Jair this whole time. Not a word. Nothing. Which means somebody said something to Brady at some point, and he relayed it on the broadcast. So, as we learned from David Bakhtiari, for all that time, and how tricky it can be recovering from a knee surgery or knee event. Now, to the best of our understanding, I don't believe Jair Alexander has had surgery, to the best of my understanding. It was funny. Wisconsin Sports Daily, I think it was Friday, me and Charlie got into an argument on the air. And I was mad that LaFleur sent him back out there so quickly after tearing his PCL and blame LaFleur for this whole thing being as screwed up as it is at this point, because he never should have put him out there to begin with. Having said all of that, I challenged Charlie. I said, Charlie, go back and find me somebody that came back sooner with a PCL or as soon, and what happened? He found Christian McCaffrey and he found Puka Nacua. Both ended up having surgery because they came back too soon. Again, I'm not mad at Jair Alexander for being hurt and not playing. Like, I'm just, you're not going to hear me go after Jair. I'm not going to. If he can't play the rest of the year, he can't play the rest of the year. I think we knew midway through the season that this team had to draft a corner or two or three coming up this offseason. I think we already knew that. But it doesn't matter who the corners are if you're going to play like this. And the reason you can't play press man and do all the fun stuff you all want to do is because, again, the coordinator doesn't trust the talent that he has on the field playing for him. Simple. Not that hard. And again, once Zane Anderson went out of this game for the Packers, they were in a lot of trouble. And it showed. Kurt in Duluth, you're next in the Green Bay Football postgame show. Driven by Young Express as the Packers lose 27-25. You're next on the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Disappointing game. I think it was pretty much lost the first half. Opening drive, fumbled by Jacobs, took points off the board. I think he fumbled it at the 35. The fourth and two, Reed should have caught that ball. I mean, we see Addison, we see Jefferson, we see Hawkinson. Even Cam Akers making incredible catches. Our guys didn't do it today. That took points off the board. And then the offsides by Cooper, I'm not blaming him, but that put points on the board for Minnesota going into the half. And so now we're in catch-up mode again, just like the last game. You know, LaFleur talks about complementary football, and yeah, it's easy to do against the teams you get big leads on. You can rush these guys, but our defensive line is, once again, didn't show up. You know, I think Ben Ginkle's got 12.5 or 13 sacks.
I think he's got 12.5 after the last one that he had, yeah.
Okay, 12.5. And what does Gary have, 4.5?
Yeah, five? He's awful, yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to tip your hat to the Vikings and the Lions. As hard as that is, they're better than we are. And you know, we've lost twice to Minnesota, twice to Detroit, and once to Philly. Those are good teams. You got to prove you can beat these guys. And our quarterback was off today. He was under duress. He had some throws he missed. It's just who they are. You know, when there's a big game, every big game we've had this year, every game we've lost, it's been drop balls, penalties, and our quarterback's been a bit off with turnovers earlier in the year. So, I mean, that's who they are.
Gary, by the way, has 6.5 sacks.
6.5. Van Ness is probably sitting on 3 or 4, maybe. You know, we're just not getting anything out of those guys. So, and I don't know if it's scheme, if they need to blitz more, like you said. I mean, I think Darnold was over 300 yards midway through the third quarter, just chewing us up. So why not bring the heat? If you leave him unpressured, he's going to hit you across the middle all day long like he did. Bring some heat. Rattle the guy. Get him off his spot.
Yep. Van Ness, by the way, 3 sacks. And that is all a part of the issue here. Kurt, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yes. You have to get him off of the spot. That's like Kurt said, you just do. And I was watching this during the game, and I'm tweeting out, guys, if they don't get pressure, it's over. There's no way. And I got people tweeting back, well, isn't that the case for every team? Sure it is. That's not the point. The point is you had to blitz. You had to bring more guys. I watched this. We've all watched this. Every time Halfley goes to rushing 4, what? 9 of every 10 games, the opposing offense moves the ball at will, and then we get to the second half of the game, and then he decides to start blitzing more, and all of a sudden the defense starts locking up the opposing offense. But we play pitch and catch way too long before making a decision to do something else. And then today, when they were blitzing, they were being picked up. Being picked up. Aaron Jones made a great pickup on Edrin Cooper on the one play. They were being picked up the times that they were coming. That was, to me, we could talk about Jordan Love's play. We could talk about penalties. We could talk about missed field goals, not kicking field goals when he should have. All of that. And we will talk about all of it. But you can't pressure the quarterback. You know, maybe Caleb Williams is different. Maybe he'll give you some either way. But if you can't get pressure on Jalen Hurts, if you can't get pressure on Sam Darnold, on Jared Goff, these guys that you're going to face in the playoffs, you're going to be gone immediately upon facing a good quarterback. You just are. It's going to be very difficult to win a game in the playoffs if you can't get home on the quarterback consistently. And you didn't this entire game. 27-25, Vikings over the Packers. Dial it up, Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tommy Wirtz over there, he'll do the text messages and be all over that, and we'll continue to take calls on the air. Let's go to Al in Cedarburg. You're next on the fan. What's up, Al?
How's it going, Sparky?
It's been better, Al. This is probably about as angry as I've been all year after a game.
You know, I can hear it in your voice, and I don't blame you. Defensively, you guys really took everything pretty much I was going to go say, that you and the last couple of callers. I get whatever you want to say with Jair missing. We might not have the personnel to be as aggressive as Halfley wants. Whatever. Take chances. At least try something in these games, because to your point, we're going to have to do that in the playoffs if you want to shout out winning. So change that up, number one. And then number two, I'm not saying LaFleur is not a good head coach or he's not a good offensive mind. I do think that he's a little full of himself, and I think he gets a little too cute. We talk about the offensive line. Maybe if he simplified it and stopped doing all these options and draws and trying to get everybody off, I get trying to get people off balance, but I don't know. I think he's just getting a little too cute for himself. What do you think, Sparky?
I think that definitely happens from time to time. I think he definitely gets too cute for himself. I'll give you an example right here. That first drive, I understand Josh Jacobs fumbled the ball. I get it. The next drive, you come out and go pass, pass, pass. Why? They did that exact same series they ran in the last game with the exact same results. Remember? Jordan Love drops back, tries to heave a ball 30 yards downfield, incomplete. Next pass, they try to heave the ball 30 yards downfield, incomplete. They did the exact same damn thing the game before. There should not be a single drive at any point for this Packers team that does not include some type of run play. The other thing, thanks for the call. You want the other something else I want to know? What, did you see Jaden Reed get the ball from Jordan Love on a handoff? Did anybody see that? Did anybody see Melton get the ball from Jordan Love on a handoff? Did we see a lot of that? You had 9 different dudes with rushes last week. 9! And you took that game plan. It's a Vikings will know it. toss it. Come on. You've been doing it all year. Now you get to this game and now you don't run any of that stuff? Why? Why wouldn't you run it? And another, I'm going to keep hammering this point. I'd like to know if Tucker Kraft sucks or not. Maybe he sucks. Maybe he can't run routes. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing out there. Maybe that's why Jordan Love won't throw him the football. Maybe the offensive line is horrible and Tucker Kraft had a block the whole game and couldn't run routes. You lose Christian Watson. You can come at me with Romeo Dobbs. You come at me with Tommy's guy, Jaden Reed, and Wicks and all these cats. Tucker Kraft's hands, pretty reliable. Tucker has ability to break tackles, pretty good. It wasn't a part of the game plan. Like, I don't... I'm so mad. So spitting mad right now at this team. Again, if you lose, right, and it's punch, 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 back and forth, and you're doing everything you can, it didn't feel that way to me. Didn't feel that way to me at all. For three quarters, we got punched in the face, and we took it. For three quarters. Nothing. See any fire, any fight, anything? Absolutely freaking ridiculous. Tony in Texas, you're next in the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express on the Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Sparky, I'm upset we lost, but you are spot on, and I love the passion that you're showing right now. I haven't seen this all year. This is awesome. Hey, so to quote the great Dennis Green, the Packers are who we thought they are, and actually, I think the Vikings are too. You know, the Vikings, yeah, they beat us, but to me, they can't play smash mouth multiple ways to beat you. They're not relying on Jefferson, Addison, and Darnold, and you guys are right on. If Darnold gets a little pressure, he's going to throw a turnover. But back to the Packers. LaFleur wants to establish this smash mouth mentality, but then he gives up on it when they had a chance to just grind it out. You got to save these possessions, and they just, the passing game spark, when Love is not in rhythm and going right away, it is so hard to watch. It's hard to watch when Love is not getting that passes early. You want to talk about Love's play?
Yeah, it wasn't good. No, it wasn't.
I mean, it takes for them to get down by 20 points for him to get into a rhythm. And did we really think the Packers were going to stop him on that last drive?
No.
Is there anyone in the state of Wisconsin that really thought?
Nope.
We haven't had a stop since 2010 when Ben Roethlisberger had the ball in the Super Bowl. That's the last stop I can remember.
If I was on KFan in Minnesota, if I was hosting there tonight, I would be killing Kevin O'Connell. Why in the world, in the fourth quarter, when you're up, are you having them throw with Sam Darnold? What in the world are you doing, man? You should be running clock. You shouldn't be having Sam Darnold throw late in that game with 4 or 5 minutes to go, and then you end up having to punt the football. Like, I was yelling at Tommy, like, what are they doing? Why wouldn't you be running clock at this point?
Totally agree. I got one last point. So the Packers stopped them in those last few series to the last one. Why do you think we'll just say this year, why can they not make the last stop? What is it, because they just don't have that pass rush? I don't understand. It was boot action like they did boots. I just don't understand. Why can you not make that last stop?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that necessarily, because I'm so mad about everything that led up to the last stop. I'm not quite sure about the last possession. But like you said, nobody had any fear factor there. Gary comes flying up from the left side, running back untouched. And Darnold still almost missed the throw by underthrowing the running back.
Yeah, I just think it's a lack of focus sometimes. They're just really trying to get to the pass or to the quarterback, and then they forget about their assignment. Boom, open play, first down.
Yep. All right, Tony. Anyway, thanks for the call, buddy. Take care. Yep. Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. The Packers come up on the losing end tonight to the Minnesota Vikings, 27-5. Packers now 11-5. Vikings now 14-2. Vikings now with a chance to win the division. Chance to win the division and the one seed by beating the Detroit Lions next week. If I'm honest, I don't really care who wins the division, and I really don't care who wins the football game. I don't care. Washington, meanwhile, If they take care of business then against the Falcons, could really screw up life for the Green Bay Packers, I believe, because then if the Packers somehow lose to the Bears, which they better not, and then Washington wins in the last week, they could all the way fall to 7 and end up having to face the 2 seed, which we obviously do not want to go do. Right? That's not something we all would want to go through. But it doesn't really matter who you face at this point if you can't get pressure on the quarterback. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't. Pick a quarterback, whoever you want. You can't get home. And it's not even like this Vikings offensive line is special. That's not a special offensive line. This Vikings offensive line was what, 24th, whatever it was, in the league? We talked about that all day on Friday. Hey, man, they're like, whatever they were, 23rd, 9th worst in football, or 8th worst in football, giving up sacks. I'm thinking to myself, okay, get home. Let's go. Continue showing what you can do. Never did I think they'd be stonewalled the entire day. The entire day they were stonewalled. Steve in Greenfield, you're next on the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line after the Packers lose 27-25. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I share your anger. I'm tired of losing to the Vikings and their scumbag fans. And the bottom line is, it's not a coaching problem. It's a talent problem. And how many swings and misses does Goody get? I mean, Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, both of them should be cut tomorrow. That was the most pitiful performance by a defensive line. And they were sending extra people, but they couldn't even get home.
Nope.
I mean, and the reason the Vikings were throwing it in the fourth quarter, because that's how little respect they had for the Packers' defense, because their pass rush was so inept. That's why they were still throwing it. And just total lack of talent on both the offensive and defensive line. I mean, their run game is based on misdirection and deception, because none of their linemen can win a one-on-one battle.
Well, Sean Ryan's pretty good at run blocking. He had a huge holding call for him, too, on that Jacobs touchdown.
But I think Matt LaFleur is a good coach. I think he's got an excellent staff. But you can't make chicken salad out of chicken bleep.
Yep.
When it comes to defensive linemen.
It's interesting. I'd like to get the opinion of some guys, people from around the NFL, as far as what they think of the talent level on the Packers defensive line. Thanks for the call, Steve. I don't have an answer for you on what I think of, you know, necessarily the talent. Rashawn Gary, to me, looked like a beast there for a couple of years, right? And then they paid him, and now he hasn't looked as much like a beast anymore. Hasn't. But again, 6.5 sacks. Just Rashawn Gary, the last, what, 3-4 weeks, looked like he was been able to get home a little bit. Had like 2.5-3 sacks in the last 3 or 4 weeks. He was playing better. He was finally starting to show something. The Packers front four in general was getting better. Devontae Wyatt was getting pressure. You saw flashes of Kenny Clark. You start to see some guys coming in, but not anymore. That all went quiet tonight. Packers lose 27-25. We'll go inside the box score, take more of your calls. We'll get to read some of your texts too. Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line. Come vent. Come yell and scream with me. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steelwind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Packers lose 27-25 to the Vikings. Wasn't close, really, to the fourth quarter or so. Midway through the fourth quarter, things got interesting. So many different things. So many different things to yell and scream about. We accomplished quite a bit of that in the first 20 minutes of the show. But I'm telling you, if you play like that in a playoff game, and I don't care who it's against, do not care, pick a team, does not matter, you are going to lose that game too. You better be more prepared and better coached going into this next, not the Bears game, but that first playoff game. Otherwise, you're going to be in and out quickly, and it's going to be over. You're going to end up with a better record than last year, but it's going to be a worse result because you're not going to get through the first round. All right, let's go inside the box score. First thing that stands out, 70 plays run for the Vikings, 57 plays run for the Packers. That's a lot of difference, folks. 13 plays is a lot of plays. Now, yards obviously not close. 441 to 2 to 271. So that obviously is a big thing. Time of possession. Packers rarely ever lose time of possession. 35-30 for the Vikings, 24 minutes and 30 seconds for the Packers. Also, a big, big problem is time of possession, resulting obviously in less plays. So that obviously has to change to get better. How about this? Yeah, yards per pass attempt. The Vikings had 43 pass attempts, in which Darnold hit 33 of them. They averaged 8.5 yards per pass. The Packers averaged 5 yards. Not that he didn't try to throw the football down the field some. He did early in that first quarter, and it didn't work. I really feel like it was just a poorly coached game. We're being honest. I mean, between Halfley trying to come up with whatever he was doing, and I realized the couple of times that you decided to come, it got caught. Come up with something else. Like, do something else. Overstack a side. Make him figure it out. Right? Do something. What much of anything. Jordan Love, 19 of 30, 185 yards, a touchdown and a pick. No interceptions, I should say. 91.7 quarterback rating. It didn't feel like he played that well, if we're being honest. But again, drop passes, penalties, all that stuff. Josh Jacobs, 17 carries, 69 yards, one touchdown, over a 4-yard average. Emmanuel Wilson, 6 for 29, almost a 5-yard average, and one touchdown for him. Receiving, Romeo Doubs, 7 for 58, 11 targets. Not even close. There's nobody even close to 11 targets. Tucker Kraft, 2 catches, 53 yards, 3 targets only. Dontavian Wicks, 4 for 43 on 5 targets. Bo Melton, 3 for 18 on 4 targets. Jaden Reed, 1 for 6 on 4 targets. Two of those he should have caught, besides the one that he did catch. Luke Musgrave, 1 for 4 on 1 target. Malik Heath, 1 for 3 and 1 target for him, including that big first down. Jacobs, obviously, with a fumble. Defensively, we'll get to the defense. We'll do that in the next segment. Get back to the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. We got some texts coming in. We got some tweets coming in at the Fan Milwaukee. We'll get to all of that. And want to get to your phones calls as well. Greg in Waukesha, you're next on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Sparky. You know, hope you're doing well, because I have a lot of questions after this game. I really do. I am a big fan of trying to do different things in football, like trick plays, and, you know, the Packers didn't try any of that tonight. You know, I was, you know, what happened, and what happened to Jaden Reed in the run game? Like, I realize the run game's not working for you much anyway.
No idea. But you handed the ball off. You had 9 different players with rushes last week. You came back this week and you had 2 dudes, your 2 running backs. That was it. Where did that game plan go? All season long, we've been handing off to wide receivers. We get to this game, and now we're going to outthink ourselves and go, eh, it probably won't work against the Vikings, so we're not going to try. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. And then just, I had no idea where either there was a misconnection between Love and Romeo Doubs on a few plays, and just I don't know, a lot of questions. I wonder about Matt LaFleur's play calls sometimes, and I know there's more coaches involved than that, and I was just upset that we didn't, you know, get our hands on the quarterback more. Just a poorly played game. You're right. We're going to be one and done in the playoffs if we can't get our, you know, get our game on here.
Right.
So that's my point. I need to go and eat an ice cream bar or something.
I'm jealous. I could go for a Wendy's Frosty right now myself. Greg, thanks for the call. Just beyond not happy with how this whole thing played. Just not happy at all. What do we got for on the Nicolay Law talk and text line over there, Mr. Tommy Wirtz?
Yeah, checking in with Nate in North Milwaukee. He vents in with his frustrations with this receiving core. Says Reed cannot be a number one. If you are Christian Watson, when you go to negotiate a contract, you show them the tape from this game.
I mean, I guess.
Next one, Dylan from West Dallas. Corners never guard their guys, leaving them wide open. It's a problem with most games.
They're playing zone, man. They're guarding areas. They're not playing man-to-man. They're taught to play off, right? And you're hoping the quarterback misses the receiver, he gets you a pick, or the corner breaks on the ball early enough to get a pick playing behind the guy. That's kind of what you're hoping for. But for the most part, the reason you play a zone is because you want them to go down the field and take 15 to 18 plays, and you dare the quarterback to be perfect and not make any mistakes. But you hope he does. See the Carrington Valentine interception. He finally got some pressure. He threw that ball up. Valentine picked it up, and then he fumbled it. Thank God for Carl Brooks. But either way, that's what led to that, was that zone-type defense. So, again, I will sit here and I will tell you over and over again on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's every day, weekday, 2 to 5, that I love Jeff Hafley, and I do. And I love listening to his press conferences, I do. But I think at the end of the day, the explanation for what this was today was simple. He simply does not trust his secondary. Once Zane Anderson went out, now he really was going to not trust his secondary. Because Bullard went back there, that should have been Keyshawn Nixon. I will argue to the day I'm dead that they made the wrong decision there. So Bullard then goes back there and is exposed immediately. And then now having Jair Alexander is killing you as well. Now, I'll give Eric Stokes this. Didn't see Eric Stokes get torched a whole bunch today. So there's that. Valentine, I don't think, played necessarily horribly today. They were playing the defense that was called. That's what they were doing. I said on Friday I was concerned Hockenson was going to have a day today over the middle on them. He did. He played fairly well against them. I didn't see the Naylor deal coming. And that Naylor touchdown, that was clearly a miscommunication. Somebody screwed up. They ran to the line of scrimmage and snapped that ball. I don't know if that was on McKinney because he was the one chasing at the end. I don't know if that was McKinney's fault or who screwed that one up letting Naylor go. But that clearly was a miscommunication on the defensive side of the football in that situation. Again, not much went right for the Packers today, if we're being honest. Not much went right for this team at all. We haven't heard from Tommy Wirtz yet. We'll do that coming up next. And your calls as well. Come on, continue to vent. We're here going up until 8 o'clock. 414-677-1250. The Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at The Fan Milwaukee. Plus, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Jordan Love. And more of your calls, texts. We'll get some of those tweets, too, straight ahead here on The Fan as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Packers come up on the losing end. The losing end to the Minnesota Vikings, 27-25. Not exactly the outcome we all expected. Well, I shouldn't say that. Some people may have picked the Packers to lose this game. I believe Mitch Thundernell has picked the Vikings to win this football game that I saw on social media yesterday. Speaking of Thunder, he's on vacations this week, so he'll be back on Monday, January 6th. Andy Herman from the Pack a Day radio show is sick, so he will not be in tomorrow morning either, which means you get me for all three shows tomorrow. So tomorrow morning we will have Mike Wall, right? Is that right? You have him locked in? Former Packers offensive lineman will join us tomorrow morning at 8:20 on the Pack a Day radio show. Looking forward to hearing what Mike Wall has to say. Then from 9 to 11, Mason Crosby and myself, the Mason Crosby show, tomorrow from 9 to 11, and I can't wait to hear Mason's thoughts on what we just watched tonight. Maybe after a night's sleep, I won't be as angry mad tomorrow on these shows. And then tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 5, obviously, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. All right, if you want to jump aboard and chit-chat, let's do it. You can vent, 414-677-1250. The Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. You can also get at us on Twitter by simply tweeting at The Fan Milwaukee. At The Fan Milwaukee. That will also work, too. A lot of people all over Matt LaFleur on Twitter. Q tweets at Sparky Radio, when one team is playing for the division title and the one seed and the other is playing for almost nothing, is there a chance that impacts play calling and performance? I disagree. This is what I mean when you say almost nothing, Q, and you know I love you, Q. This is my issue. My issue is you're playing not to be the 7 and having to face the damn 2. That's what you're playing for. There's a big, big difference of who you're going to face as the 6 versus the 7 in the first round. Now, you can have the arrogance, right, as a coaching staff, I guess, and say, there's no way we're losing to the Bears the last week. So, you know, even with all of that, even if we lose this game, we'll still beat the Bears. We'll still be the 6. This will all work out. You haven't beaten anybody. You would think, I mean, outside of Seattle, I guess, if you consider them good of any sort, I think they're okay. But if you're the Packers, you lost 4 of 6 games in the division, y'all. 4 of 6. You got swept by 2 different teams. When was the last time the Packers got swept by the Lions and the Vikings in the same year? When was the last time that happened? That's horrible. Like, if you can't have a sense of urgency just with that being on your resume and that being on your record this year, I don't know what else you want. And you're playing in a hostile environment in that dome of theirs. If I hear, and I have not seen LaFleur quotes yet, I have not seen anything from Jordan Love, we will play it. I swear to you, if I hear somebody say, well, we just didn't really bring the energy today, if I hear that, I'm going to snap. There better not be any of that. There better not be any of, well, we just weren't up for the game like they were. I better not hear it. Better not hear it from anybody. Ken in West Allis, you're next in the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, I don't want to be too critical about the Packers.
I'll take care of that for you. Don't worry.
They're young and learning, but I agree with your observations. Their start certainly was not the best. That fumble at the very beginning, it just seemed to bring the whole ball club down to reality. The comment I want to make, though, is the secondary cornerbacks and the safeties. I know Alexander is reputed to be their best cornerback, but, you know, in 3 years, he's participated in 11 games, 7 full-time and 4 part-time. If they continue to keep him next year, it's going to be another disaster. So Nixon and Valentine are okay, but, you know, that's just my thoughts on the cornerback position for the Green Bay Packers right now. I don't know if you agree or not, but Alexander, in 3 years, he's participated in 11 games, 7 full-time and 4 part-time. You can't win a division title with that kind of cornerback fatalities, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I think when you look at it from this perspective, thanks for the call, from this perspective, as far as if you're Brian Gutekunst and you're looking at the cornerback position, right? How many cornerbacks do you need next year, Tommy? How many cornerbacks do you need to feel good about things? How many?
You need at least one, probably 2.
There are 2 that are out there right now. Howard, the former Dolphins cornerback, is sitting out there. And Peterson is sitting out there. Both of them. Now, again, and this was brought up by Charlie using on the afternoon show to me of, hey, man, both these guys are sitting out there for the playoffs. You get a veteran guy, whatever the case may be. And I've seen a lot of, well, you know, put in Jair for 4-game IR stint. What is that going to accomplish? Who are you really going to bring off the practice squad that's going to do anything? Let me tell you something. You could assign either one of those 2 guys and gave them a 4-game tryout to see what it looked like. And if they stunk and now you go to activate Jair, cut them. Be done. It's just going to be a minimal type deal for the rest of the year. You're just selling, hey, look, you got a chance to win a Super Bowl. Come to Green Bay. Come play. That's all you were talking about here. But you didn't do that. You had no interest. You just wanted to play with the guys that you have. Cool. And now it's coming back and biting you because your coordinator doesn't believe in you. And I'm not saying he should believe in him. I'm not saying Jeff Halfley is wrong to play all this zone and everything else and so forth. Like, I'm not saying he's wrong. This zone, how he plays, has not given up big chunk yardage to wide receivers all year, right? You're not seeing 150 yards caught for from a wide receiver against this Packers defense. Tom Brady brought it up on the broadcast. They just don't give up big plays. This is the second game now they face Justin Jefferson this year. Without Jair, Justin Jefferson was a non-factor again in the first half of this game. They took him out. It wasn't until about, what, the 6-minute mark in the second quarter when he threw it out at a wide receiver, just hike, throw it to Jefferson, let him run. Other than that, he didn't have squat. They had taken him completely out of the game plan. So, again, you can be mad that they're not playing man and so forth. If they were playing man against Justin Jefferson, how many yards does he go for today, Tommy?
If they were man on him, he's got to get to 140, 150, I think. Yeah, easily. He had 92 the way they defended him
correct.
Today.
So you pick your poison, right? I mean, you pick how you want to play. Do you want to limit explosive plays and keep everybody in front of you and make Darnold be perfect? And then hope and cross your fingers your defensive linemen get home, which they didn't. But that's the game plan going in. Hopefully we get home and we'll be okay. And then on the other side of the ball, your offense, which has been king of creating explosive plays out of the ground game and out of the throw, non-factor. Nothing. Throughout the entire game, they didn't come up with those plays. And I'm sorry, with all due respect, don't come at me with Christian Watson. I watched last year them play without Christian Watson, and they were able to come up with big plays. And they even have Josh Jacobs at that point. They had Aaron Jones. And he was hurt for a good part of that season. So I'm not going to listen to Christian Watson is hurt, and that's why we have no explosive plays. No, that's not going to do it for me. This one here, it's coaching. I don't know. That's where I'm at. I don't know about everybody else. Tommy, where are you at on this?
100% this is. We had comments of this game looked too big for the players on the field. No, this game was much too big for the coaches that we had today. Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley both looked like they got out-coached pretty bad today. LaFleur, the decision-making to not go for it on the first field goal, okay, I'm cool with taking the points on the road.
I was cool taking the points on the road both times.
And then why wouldn't you do that?
Thank you.
Yes. Why would you not at least be consistent? You know, Dan Campbell's crazy, Sparky,
but he's
right?
crazy all the time!
But he's always crazy.
Yes!
Matt LaFleur, you cannot get into a moment where you are too scared to go for it and take points and then decide and then go for it. I get the play was open. Jaden Reed should probably catch that ball. Jordan Love should probably make a better throw. I also feel like on a 4th-and-2... why not give the ball to Josh Jacobs? He's the guy that you are building your offense around. I texted you on the second drive when they ran pass. I knew it was going to be an abandoned run game because they were going to be out of the game. And Josh Jacobs had 8 rushing yards in the second half today. So I think it was dialed up terribly today by Matt LaFleur. The fumble really threw things off in the beginning, but you gotta have better coaching moments in this game. And Matt LaFleur... now 4-2 against Kevin O'Connell.
4-2.
Or 2-4, rather. 2-4. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, Kevin O'Connell's 4-2 against Matt LaFleur now.
Kyle Shanahan owns Michael LaFleur, or Matt LaFleur. This dude owns Matt LaFleur. Listen, we all like Matt. Well, we all don't. Some of y'all call him LaFleur, and y'all don't like him at all. But I like Matt LaFleur. I think he's a pretty good coach. You have to be a pretty good coach to survive the first half of last year where half this offense were running in the wrong direction and everything else. Keep them together. The locker room doesn't splinter. And then you explode and cruise in the second half of the year and go in and stomp Dallas in Dallas after they annihilated everybody at home last year. And then we're in a situation where you should have beat San Francisco in the playoffs and couldn't get it done. But, hey man, you got to win division games. There is no if and come maybe about this. You have got to figure out how to beat the Lions and the Vikings on a given year. Do you know who has said this for a decade or so? Lions and Vikings fans about how to figure out how to beat the Packers on a consistent basis. Vikings for sure. Lions, that has been a problem for them against everybody in the NFC North. But the Vikings fans, that's what their thing has been. Man, why can't we just beat this stupid team? We'd win the division every year. We could just get past the Packers. That's what it's been. And now it's role reversal. Now this team, here the last couple of years, struggling against these two. You're going to get another crack at this in the playoffs, I think, if you don't lose in the first round. You're going to get another crack at the Vikings or at the Lions in the playoffs. Will it be different? Mitch Thunder Nellis is on Twitter asking about hope. Do you have hope still after this game that they can beat the Vikings in the playoffs? Yeah. I still think they can beat the Lions. I still think they can beat the Vikings. I still think they can go to the Super Bowl. As angry as I am, I think they have every opportunity to still finish this the way that we all want it finished. I'm angry by the game. I'm not giving up on the season or changing my expectations for what this season can be. To make sure we clarify. Yes, they can beat this team. No question. Yes, they can beat the Lions. No question. But you can't do dumb things. You can't have drops. You can't have dumb penalties in big situations. You can't turn over the football. Right? All of those things. I'm not going to say you have to play perfect, but you got to play close to perfect to be two really good football teams in the Vikings and the Lions. And right now, you are definitely not in that realm of this conference. Right now, it's Lions, Eagles, and Vikings break, and then the Packers at the start of the second tier. They are not in that tier right now, Tommy Wirtz.
No, I don't think so at all. And if you go back to 3 years ago on the dates, if you are to go back to December 29th of 2021 till December 29th, 2024, the Packers are 9-10 versus the NFC North right now. So that's pretty alarming as well. It seems like the rest of the coaching staff is catching up to Matt LaFleur in the division right now. And I'm not as confident as this team. I do think this team is smelling of early exits right now, especially if they fall down to that seventh seed. How confident are you that they beat Philadelphia in the first week of the season?
I'm not.
Or first week of the postseason.
I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not confident they can beat Philly. I'm not confident about the Lions or the Vikings. Do I think they can? Yes. If you're asking me confidence level in beating the Eagles, I'd say it's a coin flip. But I'd say it's a coin flip for the Lions and the Vikings as well. The difference here is this. The Lions don't have to be perfect to beat you. The Vikings don't have to be perfect to beat you. The Eagles don't have to be perfect to beat you. You, the Packers, have to be almost perfect to beat them. That's the difference. You have to pretty much play for four quarters a complete football game. That's what you have to do. Haven't really seen it. Are they capable of it? I don't know. But that's what it will take to beat any one of those three other teams, Tommy.
Yeah, and I don't know why Jordan Love gets the most comfortable in a game when he's down by three possessions. It seems like he then can just work. I don't know if defenses are just playing so much softer and they don't expect anything from the Green Bay Packers at the back end of the games. But it's the same thing we saw the first time when Minnesota came around. I think Matt LaFleur needs to stop taking the ball first. I mean, it's just not working anymore, and I don't want to see it totally deflate a team like having a turnover on the first drive of the game. I want to know, when you watch Green Bay, are you expecting Jordan Love to ever have the big game? Because this felt like this was a game where Jordan Love, he had a good game last time around, even though he turned the ball over a lot, but he at least had control of the game at some point in it. I'm waiting for a game where Jordan Love takes control, and it's getting a little late in the year before I've seen that now, too.
You're right. Yes. That's fair. Again.
And I'm a Jordan Love fan. I love Jordan Love.
So am I.
But I'm getting a little concerned that we have yet to see a game where he's truly in control the entire game, can do what he wants. Carve it up however. You paid him a lot of money because you knew he could be in those games. He is yet to have one this year.
Now, you're right about that. And I don't have a comeback for that one way or the other. I think the other part of it, too, is you've taken a lot of the so-called pressure off of Jordan Love by allowing this to be kind of a Josh Jacobs defense. Or Josh Jacobs offense, I should say. Right? You are relying on Josh Jacobs to run the ball almost as much as you're relying on Jordan Love to throw the ball. Josh Jacobs rushes for 20 to 25 times, and Jordan Love throws the ball 20 to 25 times. At one point in this game, Jacobs had 17 carries and Love had 17 throws. That's where it was at one point in this game. That was a decision that you made. And that's why I get angry at that second drive after Jacobs fumbles on the first. You completely go away from him and throw the ball three times in a row. And not just throw it, you're trying to make big plays downfield on that. After your defense saved your tail end and stopped him from marching down the field and scoring on you, that's how you repay him. Thanks, defense. Here's a 1-2-3 punt.
Yeah, defense did a fine job in some of the situations. Obviously,
yes.
They got tired by the end of the game, but there were so many times where this could have gotten way out of reach way quicker in the game, and the defense did their best to keep him in this game, it felt like.
Yep. No, I'm not a fan of the lack of pressure on Sam Darnold, because I'm telling you right now, if the Lions don't pressure Sam Darnold, he's going to do the same thing to them. And if the Vikings don't pressure Jared Goff, he's going to tear them up too. Just is. That's how this is going to go. All right, Packers come up losers to the Minnesota Vikings. Wasn't pretty. 27-25 to the Minnesota Vikings. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Coming up, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Jordan Love. Still time for you to hop aboard if you want to vent as well. Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250.
It's time for the drive of the game. Which drive was the most impressive by Green Bay today? Which was the most important? It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, let's go, let's go. Packers come up losers, 27-25. Maybe I'll feel better once I go to sleep tonight. Maybe. 14-2 Minnesota Vikings against the 11-5 Green Bay Packers. Packers now get the Bears next week. I have not seen anything on times yet or days for the Packers and Bears game. We are looking out for it, so if we get it to you, if we find out before we get out of here at 8 o'clock, we will definitely let you know. A drive of the game, Tommy Wirtz. Which one are you thinking?
I'll stick it out here. The last time the Packers were on offense, Jordan Love had some adversity, was sacked with 4 minutes and 30 seconds left. They did have all their timeouts. Able to march down the field, get some pretty close, and then closes it out with Malik Heath.
Got to go quick. You just can't use a timeout. Love on a throw. Looking, throwing. It is caught!
Wow.
Malik Heath! His first catch of the day is a touchdown. There's a penalty. Let's see what this is. It's away from the play.
12 on the field, KB. On defense.
That's when the Packers look the most comfortable, when they're running quick and they're running fast up to the line of scrimmage.
Well, it was a free play.
Well, 100%, but that whenever they get into a fast-working offense, they tend to be carving up defenses a lot better. I would like to see them implement that when they're not down three scores with 10 minutes left and see if it's still the same case.
Change tempo during the course of the first half, maybe, or coming out of the second half. And
right.
Try and catch guys sleeping. I highlight their courtesy of Fox, obviously, as the Packers lose 27-25. Let me tell you about my friends over there at Young Express. Right now, they are looking for full-time independent contractors that can drive locally. So with about 250 miles of Milwaukee. All you're doing is driving for a living, right? You're going from point A to point B, and they have a 24/7 dispatch team, which is very, very critical to your success, because if you're not driving, you're not making any money. With over 700 direct customers, they set you up for success. And get this, you don't got to be some big hulking dude. 99% no-touch freight. The freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is drive. Again, looking for full-time independent contractors today? Join the Young Express team. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. All right, with that being said, let's see. Who do we want to hear from first? We want to hear from LaFleur first, Tommy, or do we want to hear from Jordan Love first? Which way do we go first here?
LaFleur did speak first, which is rare, so maybe we should listen to him first as well.
Oh, you're right. Normally, Jordan Love does speak first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good point. All right, so let's hear from Matt LaFleur as he talked just a little while ago after a Packers loss. Let me see if I got this right, Tommy! Matt LaFleur just said, hey, man, we can't take shots down the field. You got to take stuff underneath. That's what you got to do. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that what the Packers defense does? Doesn't the Packers defense make you take stuff underneath? Didn't the Vikings offense march up and down the field on your defense doing just that? Follow-up should have been, well, why was the Vikings offense able to do it against your defense and you weren't able to do it against their defense? That would be my follow-up, coach. Why did it work for them and not for you on offense? I'll give you a part of the reason. Because they were able to bring pressure by blitzing people and you weren't. That's the biggest difference here. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. The pressure was non-existent on Sam Darnold, and they had a lot of great plays drawn up to get the ball out quick. On top of that, Jordan Love, whenever he he loves to force the ball down the field. And obviously, when Christian Watson is out, he always has a look like that. And I think they drew that up with someone else this week now. And it is non-existent when it's not Christian Watson, at least playing the decoy on a deep ball downfield. How many? There was two throws, I think, Jordan Love. He hadn't completed a throw that was over 10 air yards until the fourth quarter.
Right.
Right. So there was no threat of the deep game. And then on the other side, that throw to Naylor, the touchdown, was the first throw that Green Bay has allowed more than 30 air yards on a play. So it's exactly the opposite of what Green Bay is trying to do when it comes to the pass game, and it happened on both sides today.
All right, back to Matt LaFleur. You know what's funny about this? So LaFleur says they have two legitimate number one wide receivers. You don't have one. We can sit here and talk all day long about, well, it's okay not to have one. We don't have to name a one. We're just going to throw it to everybody. It makes us harder to defend. Fair. You're telling me Davante Adams wouldn't really help this offense at this point? You see all this rigmarole going on in New York about Garrett Wilson? If I was Green Bay, I'm calling. I'm calling, and I'm offering up picks. I'm offering up whatever I got to get. Get my hands on Garrett Wilson in this offense to go with Dobbs, to go with Watson, to go with Reed, and then the rest of them can do whatever they want. I'm telling you, I would be aggressive, and I'd go get that cat. That's what I would do. You have a bunch of money freed up here over the next several years to where you can get them and sign them and keep them and be done with this of trying to figure out who the one is. You need a legitimate one. I think it's becoming more and more clear as we get into tougher games here that you need that guy, and they don't have that guy. And Christian Watson is the closest thing to that guy, but is he Justin Jefferson? No, not yet. Maybe he will be in 2 or 3 years, but he's not there yet. Not at this point, Tommy.
No, I yeah, who's the Chiefs' number one? Been Travis Kelce? Can Tucker Kraft be a number one? Can Tucker Kraft
well,
be
who
a
is
guy
the one
that
in,
gets...
Who was the one in New England forever? Gronkowski.
Right.
Right? So it's possible to have the one be a tight end, yes.
Can Josh Jacobs be the one?
No.
Can you win this with Josh Jacobs being the one option?
No. Mm-mm. He can be the one option, but you need a number one wide receiver option to go along with that. Derrick Henry is the number one option in that Baltimore Ravens offense, but you have a number one in Zay Flowers. Now, you can have the conversation of, hey, is Zay Flowers better than Watson? Is Zay Flowers better than Romeo Doubs? Is Zay Flowers better than Jaden Reed? Have that argument amongst yourselves. But that is kind of what it is at this point. The other part of this is one is Derrick Henry and two is Lamar Jackson's legs. And then three is the quarterback throwing the football to whoever his number one option is, right? We don't, this Jordan Love thing, this is, he doesn't use his legs. He doesn't run. That's not his thing. So it's going to be number one target. I would just like to, I really want to know from these people that watch all 22, the Andy Hermans, the Dusty Evelys, like is Tucker Kraft just never open? Is that the deal? Or does he just never look his way? Or is he not out on routes as many times as he should be because he's got to help block for these offensive linemen? Like, I really want to know why there is a lack of Tucker Kraft. Mike Wall, tomorrow morning, 8:20 on the Pack-A-Day radio show. I'm filling in for Andy Herman, who's still under the weather. I'm going to ask Mike Wall tomorrow. And now he's not going to have all 22 by that point. But I'm going to ask him if he feels the same way. I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, and they brought Luke Musgrave in for a couple plays today, completely ineffective, had that one short catch that didn't get to the first down. So I don't know what their plan is. When Christian Watson went out, I didn't realize it would mess up so much for these weapons. And the depth is really in question now. I don't think that the Packers' wide receiver depth is as good right now as we thought it was coming into this season. And I'm really struggling to see why no one can step up and why Jordan Love seems so uncomfortable with all the other weapons out there today. Maybe Wicks had a little bit better day than he usually has, but other than that, everyone else pretty underwhelming today.
Yes, I would agree. Underwhelming would be the correct word. Underwhelming would also be the correct word for Jordan Love, and we'll hear from Jordan Love coming up next. The Green Bay Packers come up on the losing end tonight. To the Minnesota Vikings, 27-25. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Over there, he is the one and only Tommy Wirtz doing his thing as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Love next.
All about that nasty D. They all going down.
Who
made the big play on D? It's time for the defensive play of the game. On the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Can I just say something? I am spoiled, to have great producers here on The Fan. I really am. Between Tommy Wirtz doing this show with me, and then tomorrow when I am hosting for Andy Herman, who's under the weather for Pack-A-Day Radio from 8 to 9, Mike Wall with us at 8:20. He'll be there with me. From 9 to 11 when it's Mason Crosby and myself, Tommy Wirtz will be there with me again. And then I get Charlie Usen every afternoon from 2 to 5. They both do a great job hosting their Wisconsin Sports Weekend programming on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. I really am spoiled. I am blessed. You know, when you go to start up a station again after everything that went on here, you don't really know what you're going to end up with because you got, you know, two other sports stations that got a bunch of talented producers and so forth. So you don't know really what you're going to end up with. And we got very, very lucky and fortunate to have two really good producers, and I'm very happy about that. All right, defensive play of the game and a Packers loss to the Minnesota Vikings, 27-25. I always let Tommy Wirtz do this one. What do you got?
Yeah, the easy one is the interception by Valentine, but I don't want to show that play love because it really gets more love for Carl Brooks recovering the fumble on it.
It was a great pick, though. He went up into the air to go get that ball.
He did. He did. I really thought Eric Stokes was going to get one, too, and then he just jumped about 8 seconds too early before. I want to give love to this guy because he had a phenomenal game again another week in a row, and it felt like we didn't get enough to talk about Edgerrin Cooper.
This time they will hand it off to Jones. We'll pitch it to him, and he gets swarmed immediately to lose a yard. Edgerrin Cooper. He is a good-looking rookie, and I know sometimes maybe drives the coach a little crazy because he's a little out of position, but he's getting better each week.
He's getting better each week. Yep. Four tackles for loss today. He was all over the field. This was not your typical Quay Walker, Blake Martinez. They lead the team in tackles because they were 7 yards down the field. Edgerrin Cooper was making game-deciding tackles left and right in this game, was an absolute beast in the backfield. He had another monster day. He didn't cause a turnover. That would have made it another defensive player of the week caliber week. But this guy is a stud. My expectations and potential are getting into all pro level. That is where I'm at with Edgerrin Cooper. I think he needed another big shout out of love today because he was awesome on the defensive side all day.
And that highlight courtesy of Fox 6. Mr. Wirtz, I will tell you this. I thought your Jaden Reed take at the beginning of the year was absolutely insanity when you were giving him as much love as you were.
And it aged poorly.
Yes, it aged poorly. This one, I'm with you on. He could be an All-Pro one day. He could. Nah, it's not going to be this year. Probably not even next year. But he very well could be an All-Pro linebacker at some point. They have not had a linebacker like this. I don't know who the glass guy would be. I don't know if I have a comparison to a linebacker that's been as good and as athletic as he is. That can do everything. He can run with tight ends. He can run blitz. He can pass blitz. He's just amazing. He's so good.
It's early, but it is. I mean, this is Kuechly level play of linebacker he's doing right now.
Sure,
these games. It's three games. Yeah. I'm not saying he's as good as him, but going and running around the field like he was today, shutting down coverages. I mean, the middle of the field has been a lot harder to pass on.
Green Bay you think the about last all the great weeks. 49ers linebackers that Shanahan has had. Pick one. I mean, that's the type of stuff you're looking for. And if you can figure out how to get Quay Walker to react and not think as much, so he's not second guessing himself all over the field, you might have two really, really good athletic linebackers. Now, whether or not they can get Quay to that point next year, I don't know. But you were starting to see him progress, and they were using him in a different way, blitzing more and doing that type of stuff. And he was finally coming along, and then he got hurt, and all that got stopped. Q, you're next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. You're on the Nicolay Law Talk and text line. What's going on, Q?
Sparky, you're right. You do have great producers. I don't know how you do it, but You did it again.
Got lucky. So. It's pure luck. I can't control who applies for jobs. It's completely lucky.
So I'm just here to try and sit on the other side of the teeter-totter here. I'm not overly concerned with this loss. I think one of your callers earlier was talking about how we didn't do anything tricky today on either side of the ball, and I think that was intentional.
They had a delayed safety blitz. They had Keyshawn blitz from the corner. That was about the extent of it that I saw.
Yeah. And I just, I mean, I would have been shocked if we would have come back and won in the end. But I'm almost excited to watch the Lions and the Vikings beat each other up to win the division next week. That game is in Detroit, right?
I'm not sure. Yes. Yeah, Tommy's saying yes.
And they play on basically a parking lot, and they're playing. It's going to be for blood. Like, these teams do not win the division regularly. And they both beat up the Packers this year. They want to be king of the hill. And it's, to them, it's almost like the regular season is more important than the playoffs, where we've been there before. Like, I'm almost 40 years old. I'd probably have like 20 NFC North t-shirts in my closet if I bought one every year that they won. It's ridiculous. The NFC North championship and beating teams in your division, it matters when you don't do it regularly. I'm excited that this team is focused on the playoffs. They didn't force anybody to play today that was slightly banged up, and they didn't put anything on tape in case we play this Vikings team again in a few weeks.
Oh, you think that's what it was? You think it was because if the case they play, they may not win the first round of the game. They may not win their first round. I mean, you have a chance to get to 5 to ensure you an even better matchup than being at 6 if you win this game. They have handed off to receivers all year. He didn't do it once the entire game. That's on tape. You're not showing him anything. You're just doing what's made you successful. He avoided it the whole game.
I think I could be wrong, but I would be surprised if they didn't want the Lions and the Vikings to beat each other up next.
Oh, fine, sure.
There's going to be injuries. I'm not a big wrestling guy, but that's like a cage match till somebody's knocked out. Like, that's what next week is. Like, they're playing for blood, and it's must-see TV for the league too. Like, don't ever think that it's not an entertainment first league. I mean, there were some iffy calls tonight, and I guarantee you the commissioner wanted the Vikings to win so that it's a division championship on the line next week.
I don't know. All right, Q, thanks for the call. I'm not going to get in conspiracy theories like that. A couple things on Aaron Jones quickly before we get out of here. We got to hear from Jordan Love. So Kevin O'Connell, this is Ian Rappaport from NFL Network. Kevin O'Connell told reporters that Aaron Jones suffered a quad contusion and was working through it on the sidelines. Sounds like they decided to pull him as a precaution. Can I just point out something that I saw on TV watching the game, not knowing what they were talking about? Aaron Jones was talking to some dude on the sidelines that was not a player and bent over and pointed to a part of his knee when he was talking to him. So maybe they're talking about somebody else. Maybe they were talking about him. I don't know. I'm just telling you, he pointed at a part of this dude's knee when they were talking. So I don't know what they were talking about. I'm just pointing that out. Secondly, Matt Schneidman of The Athletic tweeted out that he ran into Aaron Jones and they were talking. And Aaron Jones told Matt Schneidman he watches every Packers game he can when he has the opportunity. Mm. And did you see that quote earlier this week that Jones had at the presser talking about his most fun he's ever had playing football, whatever, whatever, whatever? Telling you right now, when this is all said and done, he will always refer to himself as a Packer. And I bet you money, when he's 50, he's still going to be doing Packer stuff with the Green Bay Packers and probably not nearly as much with the Minnesota Vikings.
I think that's completely fair. Yeah,
and again, we'll see.
He's a Green Bay guy. I don't think there's
much hate. The only way that changes is if he wins a ring in Minnesota. They win a Super Bowl because the Vikings have never won one.
Correct.
Then he'll be a rock star in Minnesota, and everything will be Vikings-focused the rest of his life because he's going to make a ton of money in Minnesota signing autographs and everything else.
Can I say something real quick before we get to the Jordan Love comment?
Sure.
Sam Darnold, do we have to get used to him? Is he going to be here for a while?
Because
as a Packer fan, I would love for him to go get signed somewhere else.
It feels like they're going to franchise tag him and make him play another year. And then see where they're at with J.J. McCarthy, possibly. Or they'll just give him a ridiculous amount of money for 2 years and then make the decision on what they're going to do with J.J. McCarthy. I don't see how he gets out of Minnesota to go play somewhere else.
Right.
They'll franchise tag him if they can't agree on like a 2-year deal. Because I don't think they can punt on J.J. McCarthy either. They just drafted him.
Right.
He's got no value. He got hurt. So he's got to come back and play a preseason or two. Do well, then you can punt him if you want to keep Darnold when he gets his value up. But right now, I think they're kind of stuck. I think he's definitely the quarterback next year, if nothing else.
He has to be.
He has to be, yes. No doubt. All right, here's Jordan Love.
All right, there is Jordan Love from earlier today. The Packers come up on the losing end tonight, 27-25 to the Minnesota Vikings. We'll get right into all of this again tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Pack-A-Day radio show, Andy Herman under the weather, so I'll be filling in. We'll have former Packers offensive lineman Mike Wall on the show at 8:20. Mason Crosby will join us as well tomorrow on the Mason Crosby Show. He was off on Friday. He'll be back tomorrow. Looking forward to talking to him about this Packers-Vikings loss, and I'm sure he'll have thoughts on the Colorado Buffs getting smoked by BYU. That should be fun, too. That's from 9 to 11, and then from 2 to 5, of course, Wisconsin Sports Daily. Enjoy the rest of your night. It's been the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, and we broadcasted live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Toodles!